For those who have not heard that song before, the singer and the writer of that song is imagining what he will see and what he will do when he actually stands before the glorified Lord. He can only imagine what that experience would be like. He wonders if he will dance or he'll just stand still and be in awe. Will he stand or fall to his knees? Will he sing hallelujah or will he be able to even speak at all? And he can only imagine what that experience is going to be like. If I can point out a negative, it would be this. The problem of the world today is we have taken our Lord and Savior for granted. We treat Him as any other common thing that's happening in life. But He's more than that. In fact, it is a gripping concept. For we will also someday stand before Jesus Christ. We don't give much thought with that because we try to keep ourselves so busy in our minds and things going on in our lives. Only when we're in the deepest of a trial that we're going through. Or perhaps it is when affliction affects our bodies. Maybe then we will think about what life is going to be after this present life that we're living. Some folks have done this already. Their experiences, I think, you'll find recorded in the Scripture. But it's just as real today in the 21st century, than it ever has been before. You can go to the Scripture and say, why do we have the Bible? Because it gives us the proof or the example of people who live life just like you through the centuries of time that have come in contact and encountered the awesomeness of God. I can remember my life growing up, it was not necessarily serving the Lord. When I was in the service in the early 60s, I would imagine what it'd be like coming home. In fact, you would sort of kind of daydream about it. How many more days you have left? Till you get to that little magic moment, which they called you a short timer. It didn't keep them from sending you out. It just meant that you got to hurry up and get through this so I can get home. I can only imagine what home was going to be like. But when my plane landed, I probably shouldn't have done it. I just kind of waited till it'd be the last one off the plane. I sort of get where Doug and Craig gets their little mischief from. And I walked down that stairways from the plane and just a little distance off, my mother and my dad were standing there. But I was happy to see them, but that it was not what I was imagining when I was gone. What I was imagining was standing just about a few feet away. Her name was Brenda. Woo. I can only imagine that day that I get to see her again, holding my arms. Amen. I mean, there's certain things in life that you sort of dream about and only imagine, right? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. In the year that King Uriah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Have you ever dreamed about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever imagined being able to stand around the cross of Calvary as the one who took your place was hanging between heaven and earth? What it felt like, what the atmosphere was like. I can only imagine what those disciples and the mother of Jesus was feeling. Wouldn't you like to have been there when Mary come running to the tomb and the ladies had all the spices to anoint the body of Jesus? And they're greeted with an empty tomb. Can you only imagine? Can you imagine that? You see, sometimes we'll read the Bible and say, that's a nice story in the Bible. Can I tell you, real people led real lives, and they had real experiences with God. Church is more than just a place to assemble. And I want to compliment the choir this morning. It was just awesome. Music, praise singers, Randy, the Goings just did a fantastic job. The signers here. Didn't you feel the inspiration? I was standing back there, but I could see them really getting into it. You see, sometimes when you get into living for Jesus, you've got to have a little imagination. You're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're worshiping the one who died for our sins and our transgression. Can you only imagine what it would be like one day when you're standing before the presence of God? You see, we are going to stand before God one of these days, and He's going to be sitting on the throne. And all the elders and the angels are going to be around there. And guess what? You can be in that number as well. Can you only imagine what the atmosphere? I don't know if it'll be crackling, but I can imagine my mind. It's just crackling with excitement. He's the King. That's Jesus. Isaiah was writing this for what he had an experience was. He said, above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And the one cried unto another, said, holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine the atmosphere when Isaiah saw and was standing in the presence of God? We need to get back to that fear of the Lord. And the fear is not necessarily being afraid, but is the all and the awesomeness. Verse 4 said, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. My eyes have seen it. Can you imagine what it's going to be like one of these days? It's more than just a preacher getting up and reading a few scriptures from the Bible. It's going to be a time when the awesomeness of power of God, where we could not stand. I can give an answer to this young man who wrote the song. You're more than likely will fall to your knees. How can you stand in the presence of such an awesome God? It tells us, verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid upon my iniquities, is taken away, and thy sins purged. Can you imagine this morning having the weight and the burden of sins be purged away? Can you even imagine not feeling guilty of over the past, the things, mistakes, whatever has happened to your life and whatever and however you lived your life? Knowing, can you even imagine the feeling? Can you imagine? You see, church, in this 21st century, we're lacking one thing, and that is the imagination of understanding the awesomeness of God. Bible tells me one of these days, no matter how strong you think you are, how tough you think you may be, how resistant that you say, I can resist. I've got news for you. Every knee is going to bow. And you say, I can't say He's my God. But the Bible says that your tongue is going to confess that He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Can you imagine when you cannot do anything except to worship Him, to exalt Him, to lift Him up within your heart and your life? Can you even imagine that? We live in a world that tries to make it make believe. Hollywood is good at that. Hollywood can make you believe almost anything and buy anything, do anything. Amen? You can get you a cape on. You can be a superhero. My wife was telling me a story of her cousin. And they're all about the same age, and they hung out together and so forth, and on the farm they lived on. Kenny one day decided that he was going to be Superman. And so he climbed on top of the chicken coop. Pretty good sized little building. And he stretched out his hands, and he leaped and was expecting to fly. He hurt himself when he hit the ground. But at least he had the imagination that he could fly. Yes. Amen. Can you imagine? Come on. I don't care what life you've lived, what you've gone through, what pain or suffering you've ever endured in your life. Can you imagine to have everything all wiped clean? Dissolved. Let me tell you how it's done. It's covered by the blood of the one who hung on the cross of Calvary. I couldn't fully grasp a hold of it. I really couldn't. The women were last at the cross and the first at the tomb. Mary saw him in his resurrected and yet not glorified state, since he had not yet ascended to the Father and sat down on his throne. She did not recognize him at first. This may have been in part to the fact is that it was early in the morning. Hadn't slept probably all night long into the early morning. Crying and tears running down her cheeks. A voice spoke. A voice that was a bit different, for she did not immediately recognize who it was. But when he said to her name, or said her name in a way that he had always said it, she knew and rejoiced, falling at his feet and worshiping, not wanting to let him go. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? You know, somebody can tell you, I know what you're going through and I know how you feel, but they really can't unless they've gone through what you've gone through and has felt what you felt. You can't tell somebody, I know how you feel, bro. You know, you've been rejected by everybody. But I can tell you, Jesus Christ can understand how you feel. Can you only imagine that somebody can understand your pain and rejection? Can you understand somebody that's able to feel what you felt when you felt like you was all alone in the world? But no one would ever understand what you were going through or facing. In Revelation, that last book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 10 through 18, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book, and send it unto all the seven churches which are in Asia, and to Ephesus, and unto Samaria, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and to the Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. John was in the Spirit. Yes. Have you ever been in the Spirit? Yeah. I'm not talking about a mean spirit. I'm talking about a good spirit. Have you ever been in the Spirit of the Lord? Right. Yes. Huh? Amen. If you have never been in the Spirit of the Lord, then you cannot comprehend what I'm about to tell you. But if you have been in the Spirit of the Lord, you will comprehend it. When the Bible talks to us about the Spirit of God flowing in our lives, the point is that when we're maybe praying and we do not know what to pray for, the Spirit of the Lord begins to pray for you. Begins to intercede for you on your behalf. Said, how can that happen? I don't know. You can just, from your standpoint, you just have to imagine how it's going to happen. You've never had experienced that before in your life. But if you've experienced that before in your life, then you will understand the joy, the glory of the Lord, the awesomeness of the presence of God that flows into your very being. I can walk into an empty sanctuary and I begin to love Him and worship Him. The other day I was here and I began to just, normally I'll start out praying right over here. But that day I thought, I'm just going to just worship Him first. I'm just going to love and worship Him first. And doing that, and I began to walk over here. By the time I got over there, he and I was just as close as you can be. I'm telling you what, there was goosebumps on goosebumps and feelings on feelings, power of God in the presence of the Lord. Can you only imagine what heaven is going to be like? You're going to need a glorified body. Can you even imagine sitting on the side of the road and somebody comes and says, hey, the master wants to talk to you. Well, you've been crying out. You've been crying out. Jesus, thou son of David. Why? Because you were blind. You couldn't see. And someone says, the master is calling for you now. And you get up and you go where they lead you, to the presence of Jesus Christ. Can you only imagine what it is like that when you're blind and cannot see, come on, then all of a sudden God heals your eyes, you open them up, and there is Jesus standing right in front of you. Can I tell you, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I did not understand God, could not comprehend what God was. I had a man one day stand in front of me with a Bible, and I was a resistant fella. He would say to me, he'd read a scripture and say, can't you see it? You see, he had already seen it. His eyes was blind and he could not see. But when he received a marvelous revelation, insight to Jesus Christ, he was now telling me, can't you see that? He read that scripture again, said, can't you see that? I said, no, man, I don't see anything. No, man, I don't understand what you're talking about. But I can tell you, the day after I got baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life, I was in the house and I was thinking about God, and as if somebody had walked over to the side and flipped on a switch and the lights came on. Lights came on in my brain and my mind, and it's like, bam!
There you go, man. Hallelujah.
Now I understood what 2 and 2 was. It was 4. But greater than that, I understood that here was God, the mighty God, in Christ Jesus.
There you go.
And when Paul was writing to the church, he said, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in him.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I understood that.
Right.
Now I was seeing something I could not see. Oftentimes people will argue with one another. Is God real? Not real? Is God true? Is he not true? Is the Word of God written by just men? Or is it an inspiration that men wrote because the Spirit of God moved upon them? Let me tell you, it was the latter. God wrote the Scriptures as the Spirit of God moved upon them, which simply means that God gave them an understanding and they wrote what they understood, and it proved to be very true. Can you only imagine? You get the news that you have cancer in your body, and you may be here this morning, maybe the doctor has told you that you've got cancer in your body. Can you only imagine what it'd be like if God healed your body? Can you imagine that this morning? What would you do? How would you feel? Would you run around the yard and say, I'm clear, I'm free, hallelujah, God set me free, he healed my body? A woman at the well said, come and see a man. You got to understand that. Come and see a man who's told me everything about my life. Can you only imagine what it feels like when the doctor would tell you, you got 3 months to live? Can you imagine? Anybody here ever tell, doctor ever tell you got 3 months to live? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Can you imagine? The doctor walks in and says, you got 3 months. You can only imagine. Amen. That's what the doctor told my wife. Amen. Cancer in her body. You got 3 months. Oh, That was how many years ago? 20 years ago. And here she sits. Can you only imagine? Can you go through things in your life and you just have to imagine, I'll get better. It's going to be good. It's going to turn out right. It's can you only imagine? Junior Roberts went through that. Get on a plane, flying, was it Philadelphia? Come home, doctors, surgery. Can you only imagine what you felt like when you had to go and get on a plane and fly to Philadelphia and to tell you, well, it's not working good. The treatment's not working good. Is that what they said? It's not working good. It's not. We got to do something else. Can you only imagine? You just, the fear grips your heart or your spirit. It's hard to imagine that. But then again, let me tell you what. You got to have faith. And if it's not God's will to take you, understand this. You will not go. Come on. And then she goes back again, and they tell her what?
It's gone.
It's gone. Cancer is gone. Can you imagine that? Come on, lift up your hand here this morning. Come on. If he can arise out of a tomb after being crucified to the cross of Calvary, is there anything impossible for God? Can you only imagine? When you lay down your burdens at the cross of Calvary, can you only imagine when you take all of your life and your problems or your sins and the difficult thing and lay them down at the feet of Jesus? Can you only imagine? What does it feel like?
Wonderful.
Feels wonderful. Feels wonderful. I've got the joy bells ringing. I've got happiness in my soul. And you know why some of you act like you just it's not affecting you at all? Because you can't even imagine what real joy is about. Can't find any happiness. Can't find nothing. Can't find, it's just not. What are you going to do when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, wow. Dude, that was cool. They crucified you, put you in a tomb, put a big rock across the front of the tomb, put a big Roman seal in the front of that, and guess what? That which once was dead is now alive. That's what happens to your life, my life. Come on, anybody? Anybody can imagine that once I was dead, but now I am alive. Amen. One of these days, there's going to be a trumpet in heaven sound. Come on. The Bible says, for whosoever will, you can come and imagine anything in your life. And I'm going to tell you this, God can do anything in your life. Most impossible things you can ever believe that can ever be healed or solved or worked out or situations. Acts 9, 1 through 6, and Saul, yet breathing out the threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into prison. Right. Saul, whose name was going to be changed to Paul, but he didn't realize it was going to take place. You do not realize what God's doing in the background of your life. You're sitting here this morning, but God's working on the background of it. Come on. Hallelujah. Saul was a murderer. He held the coat of those who stoned Stephen to death. He was a hard case. He was a hard-nosed prosecutor. No mercy for anybody. But we find in verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's hard for you to kick against Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the resurrection. It's hard for you to say, I just can't believe that. I'm telling you that one of these days, one of these moments, God's going to get you in a place. You say, well, who's doing this to me? Who's creating this for me? You can resist Jesus for so long. The young man who wrote this song, if you went and seen the movie or read anything about it, he lived in a terrible household where his dad constantly abused him and beat him. The report says one time he was beaten with a baseball bat. You know what he wanted most of all? To see his dad changed. Can you only imagine? And so the basis of the song as it goes along is the fact is this young man and his dad finally came to light of Jesus Christ. But then he passed away. And here was this boy, this man, this son. He can only imagine what his dad was doing, and that he was imagining what it would be like in his life. You see, folks, we come to church and celebrate Easter Sunday, and then we move on our way to the next holiday or the next situation, whatever. But can I tell you, none of us have a promise of tomorrow. None of us have a promise for a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. In my heart this morning, I can imagine that's going to be multitudes of people that's going to be ready when Jesus comes back for his church. You see, when you keep putting it off for some other time, some other day, becomes that easy resistance. There's people in the Bible that has said, I'll hear it again some other day when it's more convenient. I'll do this or I'll do that when it's more convenient for my time. Revelation 6:15 through 17 says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You say, Pastor, why would you read that on an Easter Sunday morning message? Why would you read that scripture? Because the reason he went to the cross of Calvary is to save you from experiencing what's coming in the future. Isaiah saw the Lord and confessed. John on the Isle of Patmos and Mary at the empty tomb saw Jesus and worshiped him. Saul, whose name is going to be changed to Paul, saw the Lord and he repented and called him Lord. These men saw him, and that Revelation is talking about here in the sixth chapter, saw him and tried to hide from his wrath, and they could not. They knew that they could not stand before him at judgment. And I want to tell you this morning, the reason why a church exists is the opportunity to find Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And then the body of Christ exists for the purpose of living our life to be a witness for him. There's things that you say, I can't break, or things I can't do, things I can't overcome. Yes, you can. Friday night after a communion service here, had a great time. Good number of people for communion and foot washing. Some went out to eat some places, and we wound up, I think, going to across the street over here, Culver's. They got the best kind of food. I like it. Why did I go to Culver's? Why did I go to Culver's? I don't know. And I come around the corner, order the food, and I come around the corner to go sit down where my wife was. And I'm standing at a counter and getting a straw and maybe a couple of napkins, and a guy standing there, pretty good sized guy standing there. He said, "Did this come from church?" "Yeah." He said, "You're not a Pentecostal?" I said, "Yes, the name of the church is Community Life Center." And so he's asking more questions, and I'm thinking, dude, I think you know more than you're letting on. So we were having this conversation. I said, "Do you attend the United Pentecostal Church?" I knew he didn't. Or wasn't. Because I smell a good whiff of whiskey coming across his breath. He said, "Not really." He said, I used to be a preacher. I used to be United Pentecostal Church preacher. He said, "Once in a while I'll go," and he named a church he would attend once in a while. He told me his name, and I said his first name, and I said, "You still are. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance." He looked at me. I said, "You still are. You've just walked away from him." I could see something in his face, like, "You kidding me?" I said, "Why don't you come on?" I said, "Because you can find your way back." I said, "Why don't you come?" I said, "I'll work with you. I'll work with you." I said, "What God gave you as gifts and anointing, you have to get them restored and right relationship with him." You can just kind of see the little brightness, kind of hope. Someone, let me tell you what, Jesus Christ has come to give you hope. He wouldn't have told the story about the prodigal son. He wouldn't have told the story how he took everything and went and left and squandered everything. Sometimes we just squander the grace of God and the mercy of God. And then we find ourselves in a foreign land, in a place we really didn't intend to be. This is why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, not only to save your soul, but to rescue you. He wouldn't have told the story about the young man who climbed off of the fence and made his mind up, "I'm going to go back home." You see, that's what Easter is about. Jesus Christ came out of that tomb. He came out to bring us life, and that life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Easter is about celebrating what the life that Christ had offered. And the prodigal son, he heads up the road, and dad's standing out there. You know the story. It just wasn't that first day he was out there. He'd been out there every day. He's been out there looking for you every day. Can you only imagine you coming back home? Can you only imagine dancing in the Spirit as you once had danced in the Spirit? Can you only imagine that you cannot worship Him enough for His grace and His mercy? The man I met Friday evening promised me he would come to church. I hope he does. I can only imagine to see him bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you see, the prodigal son said, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against you and God." And the father hugs him. "Hey, my son is home." I can only imagine if this man comes, how we of the congregation is going to pull him back in. And I pray, I can only imagine to see something restored in his life that he had once with God. Will he dance or will he fall to his knees? Will he worship him? What will he do? Yeah. Would you lift your hands this morning? Let's just kind of imagine here this morning. Can you imagine your toughness and resistance melting away? You can be tough, you can be strong to everybody around you on this earth, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, can you only imagine how your resistance is going to melt away? I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see. When your face is before me, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine Mary at the tomb. Blind man beside the road. Peter, who cursed and swore he never knew that man, around the early morning fire at Caiaphas' court of judgment. Going out in the nighttime weeping, I can only imagine the guilt that Peter felt. Yet, surrounded by the glory, Peter becomes the principal preacher to announce the New Testament news. Don't tell me you're too far past. Don't tell me that you're too far gone. Don't tell me you've done such and such and it's impossible. Don't you tell me that, because I can only imagine you coming back home to Jesus Christ. With worship with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Will you dance for Jesus or will you just stand still? Will you stand in His presence or will you kneel or will you fall? Will you sing hallelujah? Will you be able to speak at all? Along with you this morning, I can only imagine. I can only imagine the pain and the suffering. what doctors, physicians describe of the laceration of a Roman whip. You haven't suffered anything or faced anything, not even close to that. Yet he garnered enough strength when they put that wooden beam across his shoulder, determined to finish the course. Let me tell someone here this morning, you started with Jesus a long time ago. Why don't you finish the course? Why don't you get ready to see Jesus face to face? Why don't you be among the multitude around the throne? I can only imagine what that would be like. God's a Savior. He's a healer. He is a restorer. Come on, He's a restorer. He'll look beyond your faults and He'll love you. We've got much to celebrate. Because He lives, you and I can live also. If He stayed in that tomb, let me tell you, brother, we would not have any hope at all. But because the tomb is empty, and because He was seen above 500 of the brethren, and they watched Him ascend in the cloud up into heaven, and the angels said, hey, let me tell you something. He's going to return back in like manner. This world has a hope. This world has a hope. You have a hope. All you got to do is climb off of the fence and say, I determined to live for you, Jesus Christ, with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we, this morning. You've been so good. Service has been awesome. The worship has been incredible. Question is, can you imagine what this life will be like when it's over? And the spirit goes back to God, which gave it. I'm telling you what. I want to see every one of you. I want to see every one of you either come out of the grave, amen, or be alive and remaining when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and you're caught out of this world. Hallelujah. Listen. There's an altar here this morning. You can do that. You can do it at your seat. In fact, you can go out in the woods and look for mushrooms and get right with God. Because God is as near as the mention of His name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's love Him again one more time. Hallelujah. I can only imagine, God. Multitude of souls. I can only imagine the worship and the shouting and the singing around the throne of glory. Because You live, we live also. Because of Your grace and Your mercy. Every day is a new day. Every day is full of grace and mercy and love of God. So thankful for that. Amen. Let's sing a song.